bit. Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Now, Christopher Weinberg, who's an Aussie, but he's in the US, and he's on the ground, and he spoke to us last week when we all thought that Hillary was going to win, but much to our surprise and chagrin, Donald J. Trump did. So, Chris, have you been having to give people solace? Are people upset? What's the feeling on the ground now that this has all played out?
There's a Macca. There's still a real sense of shock, surprise, and real fear. I don't think I can fully appreciate the fear that Americans have, because I am able to return to Australia in a matter of months, whereas for so many Americans, there's a new reality setting in, and I think our particular concern and our action should go towards standing up for the rights of those, such as immigrants, such as Muslims, such as women being harassed in the workplace, who are now likely to face greater threats because the worst of Trump's supporters now have validation to act in ways that didn't prevent Trump from winning the presidency.
Christopher, it's Tass here. Good morning to you. What's been some of the reactions from some of those minority groups in particular?
Well, I think one of the things that we're seeing a lot, Tass, is that any time such an incident is occurring, people are using social media to speak out. And I think one of the things that a lot of the left wing commentariat are doing is trying to report those cases of what is now likely to occur in Trump's America. I've been following on Twitter reports of Muslim women wearing hijabs being harassed on university campuses. People speaking in Spanish in restaurants being demanded to speak English. I mean, you've got reports that...
Already
state branches of the Ku Klux Klan organising celebratory events this weekend. So this is real for so many people. And it is our responsibility, no matter where we are in the world, to ensure that we do something about it. Otherwise, we allow these kinds of injustices to prevail.
Do you think we're all shocked and appalled by so many of the things that Donald Trump had said. Do you think when he gets actually, you know, and obviously who he appoints in his cabinet is going to be significant?
Sure.
Talk about the names being mentioned, I'd classify as a basket of deplorables. But
I think Macca also what who he employs to the Supreme Council is going
to the Supreme Court. Yes,
that
you know, is there? What does your gut feel tell you that he is? Either he's going to be as belligerent as he has been, or is he going to get a dose of reality? I thought watching him in the Oval Office with Barack Obama, that it was almost like he's thought, oh, God, I'm going to be sitting at that desk over there. I'm going to need to get my shit together. I just got a feeling from watching him, the body language was classic Trump, but I thought it was interesting what he said. He wasn't being belligerent.
Absolutely, and Macca, you've seen today that he said that he is open to preserving parts of President Obama's healthcare law, some of the more popular elements, such as preventing the denial of coverage for pre-existing conditions. And I think that shows that Trump is not bound by any sense of loyalty to the Republican Party. I think the only maxim that he's following is preserving a sense of being liked by his core constituency. So to presume that he is going to be a vessel for Republicans to implement a sweeping conservative agenda, I think, is false.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think one of the ways that the Democrats, in coming to terms with this shocking defeat, can realise or can act upon is to try and play ball with Trump on certain issues, particularly something like infrastructure spending, because Trump loves building stuff. Remains to be seen whether the wall can or will be built. But you could imagine the Democrats playing ball with the Trump administration on something like a big infrastructure package to revitalize communities across the country. But, Macro, I do want to say one thing about how we interpret the results of this election. The thing to think about is that, and I would encourage people to read Nate Silver's commentary on 538 in the aftermath of this, is that if we take one out of every 100 Trump voter across the country and make that person a Hillary voter, thus being a 2% swing, Hillary wins a very close election. And all of a sudden, our analysis is that despite a working-class revolt, the sweeping demographic changes to become younger and more diverse in America prevail. And I think that just shows that elections have tremendous consequences, even if they are incredibly close. So it's not as though America is suddenly going to become more white or older. The country will continue to become more diverse, we would assume. So let's not come to sweeping considerations about the course of the country. That is not to dismiss the likely heavy policy implications of what a Trump administration will do. And on your point, Macca, someone on Twitter, one of the journalists I follow who's been sort of very sober in their assessment this week, has sort of said one way to think about it is that Trump's cabinet could be quite conventional. A lot of former Republican politicians, people in the banking industry, people in sort of the military establishment, but that his White House staff could be where you have the so-called basket of deplorables, some of the people that were his most loyal advocates.
Christopher, there's an old saying. There's an old saying, the fish rots from the head.
Yeah.
I don't know if this applies here. I think the proof will be in the pudding. But I can't help being reminded by that saying. Now, from my point of view, at a personal level, it's the values framework which I find most concerning. Yes, I would absolutely welcome a massive infrastructure package. The last time I was in LA, I could see the place falling apart. You know, there's been no investment in roads, in anything really. I mean, even the lights are falling apart. The place is just crumbling. You'd swear that you're in the third world country in parts of LA.
Well, you are.
Oh, absolutely. And Pat, I think that really goes to something that us as Australians, if we ask ourselves, what can we do to understand why Trump won? And I've spoken to friends about this, and I think if you ask your listeners, anyone who's travelled to America, they've likely prioritised places like LA and New York, DC, Miami. Next time you come to America and you want to understand why Donald Trump won, visit Youngstown, Ohio. Visit Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Or Detroit.
Visit the outer suburbs of Detroit. Exactly, Macca. To understand why the economic shifts have such a tremendous role in explaining his victory. That is not to discount the fact that there was a significantly racist and sexist element to his candidacy and the things he said and evidently did. But if we want to understand the conditions in which he was able to chart a course for victory, even though the national popular vote will go Hillary Clinton's way, we need to understand that. And that can be done in part by visiting the kinds of places where he was successful.
You know, what's important for people to remember here, Chris, also is that almost 75% of the of people that were eligible to vote didn't vote or voted for Hillary. So, but again, Trump got just over 25% of the eligible vote, but so did Barack Obama. So when they talk about a mandate, it's not a mandate in the way that we think of it in Australia, even though we always discuss that. You know, only one in four voters voted for Trump. And two in four voters actually couldn't give a toss. Two in four voters couldn't give a toss.
We've just had a very interesting bit of listener feedback, Christopher. Somebody has just said that the reason why Trump won is because class exists. It's not necessarily a class war, but it's because class exists. Do you have a response to that?
I think that is valid in part. I think one of the more interesting analyses that I saw in interpreting the exit polling and the demographics was that you could explain a lot of Trump's support based on jobs that were considered routine, in that if your area had a fairly routine set of economic conditions, say, for example, being a truck driver or working in a factory on an assembly line, that was a strong predictor of Trump's support, whereas if you worked in something like the service industry or something more technological that's probably more dynamic, you were more likely to support Clinton. And one really stunning map illustrated this to me, guys, in that, and someone made the comment, the self-driving trucks of the future are being developed right now. And
yes,
the kinds of states Donald Trump won are states where being a truck driver is the most common profession.
Yes.
So people are reacting to economic conditions that are not suddenly reversed now that Trump is president. Trump has capacity to do things and has quite a vast power that will be at his disposal on January 20th. But economic forces will continue. The growing sense of technology in our world will continue. And that's something that Trump can't necessarily stop. The impact that he can have along the way, particularly in the social climate in America, I think is palpable.
We've got to go, Chris. Thanks for your commentary over the last little while and also today.
My pleasure.
Stay away from crowds if anyone attacks you, just tell them you're an Australian. They like us over there, so they'll probably move on to someone else.
And, Macker, I appreciate it. Talking about it helps, and I think if there's one thing that we can all do, no matter where we are in the world, it is to talk about it, particularly to people that are not like us.
Exactly.
And I think if we're living in Melbourne, one positive thing we can do is maybe pay a visit to Geelong and understand why people are so concerned about the future of the economy there, or pay a visit to the people of the Latrobe Valley who now face uncertain economic climates. We need to talk to people who are not like us, and if we can do that, then we can potentially come together and chart a better course.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.